Welcome to episode 11 of the Crossover Podcast, your 596,000th stop for all comic book movie news. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Matt. This week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Deadpool, Batman versus Superman, some other stuff since I can't read it that far away, and the Super Bowl trailers.
You can reach us at thecrossoverpodcast@gmail.com or over on YouTube. Just search for the Crossover Podcast and subscribe to our page. Or you can find us now on the HodgePodgePodcast.com, where we're going to be hosting all the podcasts there. And eventually they'll be on iTunes. I need time to get them up there. Find us on Facebook. Just search for the Crossover Podcast and like our page. It's not as polished as the HodgePodge Podcast intro.
Not yet. This is only episode 11.
I got the thing down to a science.
It's muscle memory for you now.
And then when 38 fucks it up, I'm like... But I fuck it up too. He's not the only one.
Yeah.
So the big story, obviously, is that Deadpool was a huge flop for Fox.
Oh, what an embarrassing situation.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds really put his ass out there.
Yeah.
Deadpool made $135 million.
Yes,
I think is that
well,
right.
Well, 150 for the whole
4 day weekend,
4 or 5 days.
A 3 day weekend, 3 day weekend.
I think it's like an
eight day weekend. It's now. 4 days because it's Friday through.
But they
Monday.
Count the Thursday nights too, right?
Yeah, Thursday counts for Friday.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, because those are still technically midnight showings.
Yeah, it's
seven. I'm making air quotes right now.
Yeah, so from Thursday at 7 to Sunday, $150 million.
Oh no, I thought it was Thursday through Monday was 150. Is that right?
It made $150 million.
It made $150.
$150 from me. And then overseas, it made over that.
Wow.
It made $160
million.
Wow. So, yeah, $310 million in one weekend.
It made the most money in a weekend, in the opening weekend of any X-Men movie.
Yeah.
So, of course, the
Even
answer...
Even the summer X-Men releases.
So, of course, the answer from Fox is, what else can we make rated R and make it work? And there's now rumors that X-Force is going to be R-rated. I don't know. That depends on what they do with X-Force, but we can talk about that in a second. The big thing is that now, I think it was at Toy Fair in New York, there was like some pamphlet going around where they're like, Wolverine 3, and they're like, the anticipated rating, R.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's interesting. Wolverine, it makes sense to do.
It does make sense. And I've wanted a R-rated Wolverine for a long time now.
It's on the Blu-ray of the last one. There's like an extended edition that's technically
of the Wolverine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got it.
So what is it more? Just gore?
You know what? To be honest, I've never gotten around to watching it because it's just like...
He's not dropping the F-bomb everywhere.
No. And that's the other thing, too, is that it wouldn't be the same thing. Like, because people, of course, online are like, oh, yeah, that's your answer for everything now, Fox. It's like, well, an R-rated Wolverine movie would not be the same thing as an R-rated Deadpool movie.
No. An R-rated Wolverine movie, I think, is more true to the character because he's just a brutal fighter.
Yeah.
And he can't do that in a PG-13 movie.
Right. Well, they can do basically what they did in The Dark Knight, which is he can do stuff, but then they have to cut away.
Yeah, they cut away before you see anything.
But, I mean, there was a story from a long time ago that John Byrne, I mean, speaking of how brutal Wolverine is, John Byrne wanted to have Wolverine and Kitty Pryde in, like, the X-Mansion at, like, the breakfast nook, and she says something wrong, and next thing they know, the X-Men walk in, Kitty Pryde's dead, and Wolverine's just eating his Cinnamon Toast Crunch or whatever. So that's Wolverine for you. But Deadpool.
Yes.
So Deadpool, we saw it. I've seen it twice. You saw it 4, 10 times?
On Friday. No, I've seen it 3 times.
3 times.
3 times, yeah.
I liked it a lot. It's very, very funny. We talked about it on the HodgePodge, too.
Yeah, we did a spoiler-free on the review on the HodgePodge.
But the thing with the spoilers, though, is that, like... If you go into spoilers, then you're giving away the jokes in this movie. And I don't know if I want to give away the jokes. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because there's not, I mean, plot-wise, there's not a lot going on as far as, like, you know, spoilers in the plot. It's pretty straightforward. The trailer pretty much tells you what's going to be in the movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like we said on the HodgePodge, if you saw the trailers, you've seen the plot of the movie.
Yeah. I will say that the second time I saw it, there were parts where I was like, okay, let's get on with it. It's really, the movie is really a success because of Ryan Reynolds and them being true to the character. the story is just kind of eh, but, you know, what do you want when they constantly were like, cut that, it's gotta be cheaper, cut that, it's gotta be cheaper, cut that.
Speaking of cutting, did you hear about the people that were in the original script?
Oh yeah, they were going to have Taskmaster. I don't even know if they could have, they can't use him. But
that's back in Marvel now.
Right, but Taskmaster, and they were going to have Wolverine. Wolverine's going to be in it. Yeah. And Hugh Jackman does make his way into it, not in the flesh, but he does make his way into the movie.
His presence is known. And did you see the Ryan Reynolds interview?
And Hugh Jackman's like totally game for it because he knows. See, he knows that that first Wolverine movie was a piece of shit. He knows it was, and I think that's why he has taken such like producer control on the Wolverine and now this last one that they're gonna do.
Yeah,
he still fucked up the Wolverine because the last.
Well, he fucked up the last 20 minutes.
It's like I always said, like I always say, like the end of the movie, I'm like, well, the part when he goes to the airport and he says goodbye to Mariko, that's good. Okay. All that part's good.
That's
It's right in, like right when he gets shot with all the arrows from there and just cut it and just say, I don't know what happened, but I saved her. The end.
Like, I want to see like the film is coming off the reel.
And then it gets like that blister. Like,
yeah,
it's
that
like
melting. Like blistery look. And then you hear, and then. They show up at the airport.
I guess it all worked out.
Hey, that is my perfect cut of the Wolverine.
Yeah,
I would give that movie an A. As it is, the last 20 minutes are so bad.
It's terrible.
It just drags it down. But
but Deadpool doesn't do that. They are very true to the character.
Yeah,
and he is great. I mean, and he's Ryan Reynolds. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
I liked all the side characters too. TJ Miller's fantastic in this.
He was good Weasel.
Like Marina Baccarin.
Yes.
I liked the lady who played Al, Blind Al.
Blind Al was good.
She was good. I loved Colossus. And Colossus was made up, I think, of three different people. There's a guy who played the body I mean, it was all motion capture, but guy who played the body, there was a guy specifically who played the face.
Yeah.
And then there's a separate guy who did the voice. Cause I think the guy who played the body wasn't getting the voice or something like that. He couldn't do it.
Yeah. So they replaced him with they brought in the new guy, the guy for the voice at the very last. Minute,
yeah.
To record very all
last
his lines.
Minute, very last minute. Colossus is great in this, Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Brianna Hildebrand, she was very good.
She was good.
First of all, she's a blip of a character in the X-Men comic books anyway. So they really had kind of license to do whatever they wanted with her.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about her.
You're not supposed to. She's literally like in one Grant Morrison book issue and that's it. And then she dies.
Yeah.
She died in like the assault on Genosha, I think, or something like that.
Okay. Because Reynolds and Miller were talking about all these articles have come out about the process to get this movie made.
Yeah.
Which has been, depending on who you listen to, 10 to 12 years in the making.
Yeah.
And they were just going into detail about how they were begging Fox to get this movie made. And they were like, when they were talking about numbers for a budget, mm-hmm. and Fox apparently gave them an extremely low number.
Yeah.
And they were like, well...
It was like $50 million or something. Yeah. Was it? Or maybe not.
It ended up being 58, I think, is what it was.
The original X Men, I think, was 75, and that's in $1999. So that was 75 back then. But even then, that was like you're doing the X Men and you're only giving it $75 million. That's why X Men 2 was such a quantum leap ahead of that movie.
Yeah.
And I still like the first X Men movie.
I do too.
I think they really captured what the characters were, but you could see how cheap it was a little bit in some of the effects, especially in the trailers that came out, the early trailers. But anyway.
Yeah. They were talking about different X-Men that they wanted for it. And they were like, no, no, no. And they were like,
Saying too expensive.
Yeah.
Too expensive.
Everything was too expensive. And so they finally they were like, what about Negasonic Teenage Warhead? And they were like, who? In.
And Marvel's like, now we can't use her because we could have used her because nobody, they don't even know who the hell she is.
No, she's a mutant. But yeah, it was a struggle. They said that they would send them, they hounded them with emails constantly asking them if they could make this movie. Tim Miller even said, he's like, I sent him an email. I can't believe he actually
like
said
an email
this.
A week or something like that, right?
Yeah. And but he was like, I was like, who do I have to fuck to get this movie made? He sent it to a Fox executive.
Yeah.
And he got some form letter back that was like, we appreciate your enthusiasm, but we are not, you know.
That's because Tom Rothman's a shithead.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about Batman Superman.
Yeah.
Not that Tom Rothman has anything to do with it, but no, executives in general.
Suits in general, yeah. And they were talking about the original script that they gave Fox. And, you know, it went up a few ladders and then it got to Rothman, I guess.
Mm.
And he was like, no, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Anyway,
that's like that scene in Big, with Tom Hanks, where like the one guy has his robot that turns into a building, and Tom Hanks is like, because Tom Hanks is really a little boy in a man's body, and he says, yeah, I don't get it. He goes, you can't really play with a building. He's like, in the, you know, the Transformers transform the cars, and that makes sense, you know. And so then when Tom Hanks has his great idea, the guy is he's a total fucking tool. I think it's John Hurt who plays the character. He's a total fucking tool, and he's like, I don't get it. And then they're like, shut up. So.
But anyway, it all worked out. They finally got it made.
Yeah. And it's really funny.
It's hilarious. And I tend to give it more of a pass on the plot front than I think you do. Only because, like, I'm treating it as basically a comedy. Like an action comedy. So, like, when I look at something like The Other Guys or, Step Brothers, I don't look at that and go, that plot sucks, you know?
That's
look
true.
At
all these plot holes. That's true. That's true.
It's a comedy, I think. So right. I
did give it a B+.
You did. Mean, you know. I know you didn't give it a bad grade. I have it in the A category, A-, somewhere around there. But the story is super thin. There's absolutely nothing there. Ajax is...
anorexic.
He's just a non-factor. I mean, he's a terrible
cliche
villain.
Yeah, I wish, because you said something before we went in to go see it. You were hoping that Mr. Sinister or something was going to be behind the whole thing. I think that would have been awesome. If they had really tied it into, they could have gone the real, and actually it's funny because this Facebook group I'm on is doing a comic books week and somebody posted that he likes Wolverine and stuff like that. And then somebody posted about Weapon X. And I was like, oh, well, you know, did you know that in Weapon X, the person the doctor is talking to, did you read up Weapon X?
Mm-mm.
There's like the doctor who's in charge of the project to make Wolverine get the metal and stuff like that. He's always talking to somebody on the phone throughout the whole story. And the person on the phone, Barry Windsor Smith, who did the book, he asked Chris Claremont, he goes, he said, is there anything you ever wanted to do with Wolverine in the origin? And then Chris Claremont's like, he goes, I got to be honest with you. He goes, I was going to make it that Apocalypse was behind the whole thing. So Barry Windsor Smith put some faceless person on the phone, and it's supposed to be Apocalypse that he's talking to the doctor on the phone. That's why I keep saying that Hugh Jackman has to show up in this fucking movie in some form.
Yeah.
Because they have to make it that Apocalypse is behind the metal, you know, in this new timeline or whatever. Maybe it was to begin with. Who knows? But anyway, so I was hoping that maybe they could have done that with Deadpool, where like Ajax is talking to somebody on the phone. And
yeah, it would be cool if Sinister, because it would have made sense for Sinister to be like, I want to create all these new mutants so I can, you know.
He could have had Deadpool in mind for the Marauders.
Yeah.
And then you could have tied that into Gambit, because Gambit, they retconned it later in his history that Gambit was one of the Marauders. He worked with the Marauders in the Mutant Massacre.
Yeah, see, we need to be making this shit.
Hey, man. I don't know. I'm sure Simon Kinberg doesn't fucking
get it.
Know that.
I don't get it.
I'm sure Kinberg doesn't know that crap.
Right. But
how's Fantastic Four 2 coming there, Simon Kinberg? Stay away from Star Wars.
It may not be on the schedule anymore.
Yeah,
we're checking on that.
I think it belongs to Marvel.
Yeah.
They're just not reporting it yet.
Don't get my hopes up. Although it has to be the case.
It has to be.
It has to happen.
If they gave the TV rights for X-Men to Fox to make those two shows that they're going to make. I think Hellfire Club's on the... It's not on the ropes, but they're not...
I haven't heard anything more about it. Legion seems to be going forward.
Legion's going forward on FX. And they've actually cast it. Like Legion, they're going to... But, like, Hellfire Club's still in development. They don't know what's going to happen. Probably just... They're probably going to see just how much they can ruin Batman with Gotham.
Right.
And then they'll see how much they can ruin the X-Men with Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good job, Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, we blame Fox for a lot, and they deserve it. But then something like this comes out. But
yeah.
This almost, I don't think we can give them that much credit, because all they did was like, here is an extremely low budget.
Right, right. To be totally honest, the person that's really to blame is Tom Rothman, because he doesn't work there anymore. He works for Sony, I think.
Sony, yeah.
And so, good luck with your Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
And because Lauren Shuler Donner, who is the main producer on the X-Men films, she has always said that she wanted to do Deadpool and she wanted to do Gambit and and now they're starting to do that stuff. Like once Tom Rothman left, look what they finally did. They finally had fucking Sentinels in an X-Men movie, you know? So they started getting stuff that they wanted to do. Whereas X-Men 3 was, you know, it's kind of the shadowy Sentinel and they finally did the Danger Room finally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but that was a screw fest. Not 100% Brett Ratner's fault. I blame him for a lot, but it's not
100%. Yeah, he gets his fair share. I agree.
That movie was well into development.
Yeah.
When Matthew Vaughn said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it was already sinking by the time Ratner got on there.
But anyway, Deadpool.
Yeah. You know, of course, Deadpool 2 got greenlit before it even came out.
Mm.
And, you know, for those who stayed after the credits, you know who is going to be in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, that's the one spoiler we can probably delve into that's actually relevant without giving away any jokes or anything like that.
Yeah.
The after credit scene is a riff on Ferris Bueller's Day Off where
Deadpool, it's great.
And it is. And Deadpool's he's in Ferris Bueller's robe and it's at the end of Ferris Bueller after all the credits, except with Ferris Bueller, at least they kept a scene running throughout the credits to keep you watching as opposed to Deadpool where it's just, you know, and this is the same for all the Fox X movies. They just play credits. You're just supposed to sit there like an asshole. But no, he comes out in his bathroom. He goes, what are you doing? The movie's over. Go home. It's over.
You're still here.
Straight out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then when we saw, because we saw a screener, there was only that. And then the theatrical release had another teaser right after that, which was a continuation of it where basically he talks about what they're going to do in Deadpool 2 if they ever get the green light for it.
Yeah.
And he basically confirmed that Cable is going to be in Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Because the first cutscene, he's like, you're probably wanting to hear something about Deadpool 2, but we don't have the money for that.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. And then you get another like half second of credits and then he comes back and he's like, but if we did, it would have Cable in it. And and then he starts rattling off actors. He was like, you know, we need somebody big, crew cut. We're thinking Mel Gibson or he mentioned somebody else. And then he's like, or Keira Knightley. She's got range.
Actually, it's funny. You know, I mean, I know he's joking around. Mel Gibson would actually be pretty good.
If Mel Gibson weren't 5 feet tall, I'd say.
There, another person who wants to do it, who actually is campaigning for it now, is Stephen Lang from Avatar.
Yeah.
He wants to be.
He came out the next day.
I mean, and he's a little thin, I think, for Cable, but he could bulk up. But he does look like Cable.
Yeah.
But another one that's floating around out there, there's this rumor going around, or somebody like fantasy casting or something like that, is that John Hamm. They want John Hamm to be Cable.
Okay. I never heard that one.
And somebody... Oh, you never heard this? Somebody mocked did a mock-up of John Hamm looking like Cable. It looks pretty freaking cool. Like, they gave him the white hair, and then he had, like a cloudy eye, and then he had a scar on the other eye, the X scar on the other eye, and then he had on some tunic thing or something like that. It was only, like, a headshot, but I was like, he looks pretty good as Cable.
Somebody also did a mock-up of Keira Knightley as Cable, and it looked good.
Get him out of here.
I mean, sure, she weighs 4 pounds, but...
Yeah, if Stephen Lang is a little thin for Cable, yeah, Keira Knightley is, like, anorexic.
Quite physically there yet, but...
Right.
There was somebody else Kevin Nash, that's not going to happen.
He's a wrestler.
He looks exactly like him.
Hey. We already learned our lesson with Tyler Mayne as Sabretooth.
This is true.
The only good thing that came out of Wolverine Origins was Hugh Jackman's performance and Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth.
Yeah, Sabretooth was good.
He was really good.
Until they forgot about him.
Yeah.
In that movie. there's somebody else. Oh, fucking Hellboy.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman could work. Ron Perlman might be a little bit too old.
He might be a little old.
He might be a little too old, though, to play Cable.
Yeah.
Now, what they're going to do... See, now I'm going to really... I mean, if you thought I was geeking out before, now I'm going to really geek out. I don't know how they're going to do Cable explain who he is.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
Cable is... For those of you who don't know, Cable is... Basically, he is the son of Scott Summers, who's Cyclops, and Jean Grey's clone... Madeline Pryor, who was basically like a genetic match for Jean Grey. She was created by Mr. Sinister. And that was discovered in the Inferno storyline in 88. And then the baby, Nathan Summers, got what's called the transmode virus, which is like, if there's a character in the New Mutants called Warlock, and his race of people, his alien race of people, has this virus they can infect organic life forms with, and it like basically turns them into like robots. So that's why Cable has the metal arm, and that's right. And it's always encroaching. It's always, like, so like he has telekinesis powers, and he's always using his telekinesis to fight back the infection so it doesn't take his whole body. But his arm is completely metal. And then they did a storyline, which was like Cyclops and Phoenix or something. And this was after Jean Grey came back to life and everything. And the two of them went to the future, because what happened was when the baby got infected with the technovirus, they sent him into the future. And then the two of them went into the future and actually raised the kid. It's so convoluted and crazy.
I'm already lost.
And so, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. Because putting Cable into the movie, considering they're just reintroducing Cyclops and Jean Grey in this next X-Men movie, putting Cable into the movie has major ramifications throughout all the X-Men movies because of who he is and who his parents are. And then his sister from another timeline is Rachel Summers, who was the second Phoenix, basically.
Okay.
She had a cool storyline, though. She was like she's a mutant, but they turned her into what they called a hound, which is where she hunted other mutants in like the future, from like the Days of Future Past times. And she hunted other mutants. It was pretty cool. It was a cool timeline. She was really messed up in the head. Clearly.
Well, I'm going to say they're going to distill that storyline down for
they probably will. Cable. I mean, they'll probably just make him a time traveler, and yeah, then they'll discuss who he is later.
Because Deadpool did say something about him. He travels in time. He's got a robot arm.
Right.
You know. So these are things that they're clearly looking to put in the script.
Now, the question is, will they do Strife and all that kind of crap, too? Because Strife was like, I think he was Cable's clone or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. X-Men in, like, the 90s just went all, like, because, like, in the 80s and before that, Chris Claremont had it real simple. It was just Uncanny X-Men. That's all it was. Wolverine did his little limited series. Then in 88, they spun Wolverine off into his own story, and Chris Claremont made his own little thing for that. He's like, okay, he's in this Asian country, and, you know, he goes there every occasion, whatever. Then they did X-Men number one, and then there's X-Factor, and then there's this, and then there's that. And then it just grew into like this giant convoluted mess. So, and it's still like that today. I mean, there's still like, I mean, even though Marvel like relaunched all their crap, there's still Uncanny X-Men, Extraordinary X-Men, All New X-Men. And there, I mean, it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. There's way too many characters, way too many stories.
Well, I don't care how they do it. I can't wait. I think Cable's going to be really cool. And I just...
Yeah.
I worry, though, that... Like, I think this movie succeeded because Fox was so hands-off with it. Like,
yeah,
they knew nothing about
it. Now
they
might try and get...
And now they might be like, oh my God, you just made us $150 million. We're going to take control of this. You
yeah.
Know? Which hopefully, because of its success, I hope that bought some goodwill for Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller.
Yeah.
To where that they can do what they want. Mm-hmm. But I worry that... and actually James Gunn did one of his epic Facebook posts about this topic.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I looked at it and I was like, okay, that's a thesis. I can't read all of this. But the basic gist was that like he was going on about what this might mean for future superhero movies and what it should mean for superhero.
It was a response to a Deadline article where some executive said the reason why Deadpool was a success is because it made fun of Marvel all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then James Gunn's like, screw you. He's like, Iron Man, you know, poked fun at the superhero genre. Ant-Man poked fun at the Guardians. He goes, I'm not even going to mention Guardians of the Galaxy, but, you know, it was that was completely different, you know.
Well, because the suit said something like, insinuating that Marvel would never do something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It would never allow us.
Right. And James Gunn was like, the reason why Deadpool is a success is because they let Deadpool be Deadpool. They made it Deadpool. And that's why it was a success, because it was different. It was original.
It was different.
It was new. You know, that's why it was a success.
So he's afraid that this is going to spawn, and it might be playing out, just like R-rated for the sake of being R-rated.
Yeah, it's funny you made that comment, Spawn.
Yeah,
because as soon as Deadpool made all this money, people were like, "Hey, Todd McFarlane, what's going on with the Spawn?"
Well,
movie?
You know, I just finished the script for Spawn. It's a reboot, and it's mostly a horror movie.
Whatever.
Yeah. Which sounds cool. I mean,
you're still getting $50 million to make this movie. Yeah. It's gonna look like crap, like the first one.
He just wants to make more action figures.
Hey, he made great action figures.
He did make great action figures. And we have him to thank for Venom.
Partly, yes. Yeah. David Michelin was the writer on that. But McFarlane, yeah, created the look and everything like that.
But there's the news about, like, we talked about with Wolverine being R-rated. But then they're right. Also talking about X-Force being
now,
R-rated.
See, that's the other thing. So we mentioned X-Force just briefly in the very beginning. X-Force could be R-rated, but it all depends on which X-Force they're doing. Because there's different X-Forces.
Of course there are.
There's the original X-Force, which spawned out of the New Mutants, which is when Cable took over the team. And it had New Mutants in there, like Cannonball, I think, was Wolfsbane still on the... No, she wasn't on the team then. But it had all these different mutants. Cannonball was from the New Mutants. Cable was the New Mutants. Domino's in it. That's where Deadpool made his first appearance, was in New Mutants. Yeah. And he was a villain at the time. Oh, Sunspot, I think, was still in it. So
I think Sunspot, Warpath, Domino, Cable.
Boom Boom. There was a character named Feral, which is not Wolfsbane, but similar. And then there's Shatterstar, and he comes from Longshot's planet. So it was a weird eclectic team, but then just recently, and when I say recently, I say in the last 5 years or so, Cyclops made a team called X-Force, which was like the Dirty Dozen of the X-Men. Wolverine, Archangel, Psylocke. These were the characters that went and got shit done, basically. And you know, if they said, "Hey, that guy needs to disappear, send X-Force," and then they go and kill them. I think Phantom X was in that too.
Psylocke would make sense.
Either way, they could go either way with it, and it would be a cool movie.
Yeah.
The latter though is the one that would be rated R, because you don't.
Yeah.
When you have a
Suicide Squad type.
Exactly. It's Suicide Squad, except all the characters will probably live.
Yeah.
So and if they did that version of X-Force, that's a good time maybe to say, hey, Hugh Jackman's leaving. This is when you bring in your new Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what his situation is in Apocalypse. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I kind of feel if they're going to do the original X-Force, they have to do New Mutants first. Because you have to show who, like, especially Cannonball. Because Cannonball would carry over. And he could even be, like, the point of view character for X-Force to see this new team and stuff like that. But if they went Strike Force, X-Force, then you could do that. You could do that tomorrow, basically.
Yeah.
It'd be Deadpool, Wolverine, Psylocke, and Archangels in this Apocalypse movie. I mean, you could literally do it tomorrow. So that's my question. Because I see it on Collider all the time. People are like, oh, X-Force, X-Force. I'm like, yeah, but which one are you talking about?
Well, because there's two different teams. I think Deadpool 2 happens before X-Force.
It should, yeah, because you have to, because like I said, because Cable is so convoluted that you're going to have at least a movie to at least distill some of it down.
Yeah.
Before you introduce him. Don't be surprised if they bring, if they do like the Strike Force, X-Force, don't be surprised if they bring somebody like Bishop back or somebody like that too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was in Days of Future Past.
So was Sunspot and Warpath, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Warpath. So, yeah, so, you know, they might bring those guys back, and who knows, maybe even throw Blink in there, too.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Just bring them all back.
Blink's an interesting character. Blink.
Blink is cool. I liked Blink.
Blink, because Blink only existed in the Age of Apocalypse, which was that alternate reality, and then they eventually worked her in somehow and brought her back.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, you want to move on to Batman...
Yeah, so Batman, Superman.
Or just Batman, I think, at this point.
Batman, Superman. Well, let's talk about the Super Bowl trailers first.
Okay, we can do that. Well, we were just talking about X-Men, so we can start with that one.
Right. X-Men Apocalypse had a Super Bowl trailer, which had a little bit of new footage. It was mostly stuff we've already seen, though.
We got to see Psylocke.
Yeah, we got to see Psylocke. She uses her katana, her side blade katana, which is technically not really her side blade, but anyway.
Yeah.
And Apocalypse looks good. I think he looks a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
From the original stuff we saw, he does have the cloudy eyes, which is great because that's what he's
supposed to look like. In one scene, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other, he didn't.
Right, right. Yeah. And we were always, but see, I think we were also kind of debating like the poster. Like, are his eyes closed or it's cloudy eyes? And it's cloudy eyes. It's for sure now.
Yeah.
Now that I saw that teaser, you got to see some of the, Cyclops using his powers and stuff like that. And, but these are short, like these were Super Bowl spots. They're like 30 seconds, 40 seconds at the most.
Yeah.
But it looks good. I mean, I would say it's still the superhero movie that we know the least about, basically. All we basically know is that they're reintroducing these X-Men characters as younger characters.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is in it. Go. And Magneto is like his top horseman or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably Wolverine, but anyway. I just hope that they make that reveal. Oh, I haven't shown you my greatest horseman. Ching.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he'll be in it.
I think he's.
I think Singer's pretty much already confirmed.
Well, when they were at Comic-Con, they were just being so coy about it, and then somebody, was it Kinberg maybe? I think they were talking to Kinberg, and they were like, so like, he's in it, right? And they're like, he's like, oh well, I don't know, and I'm like. If he wasn't in it, they would just say he's not in it.
Yeah.
But they're being so coy that he's got to be in it.
It's kind of like the Russos. Anytime you ask the Russos a question about something that is in their movie,
right.
They're like, I don't know. I can't really. But he came out and said it in like a Collider, one of the Collider talks that they did at the theater or something like that. He was like, look, if we say no, it means no, they're not in the movie. If we don't say no, if we say, well, it means yes.
Who was that, the Russos?
Russos said that. I guess they thought nobody was listening, but they were like, look, it was like they got tired of answering those questions.
Right.
And they were like, if we say no, it means no. If we don't, you read into that what you want.
Yeah.
It still needs to win me over, this X-Men movie.
Right.
On the one hand, Apocalypse looks really good, and then they cut to another shot where he's holding up Mystique, and I'm like, right. Well, and there he looks kind of like a fish. I mean, he doesn't look as good without his, the eyes. I think the eyes do a lot to make that character look good. But I am now loving Oscar Isaac's acting abilities after watching all these movies with him in it. So I'm really excited to see him in the part because he's so charismatic.
And, yeah, he's a great actor.
That's what that role needs. He needs to be somebody that you could believe would command. All these X-Men.
Because that's basically what they said he's going to be, like a cult leader, basically. Yeah. So
he needs to have that kind of personality. And
just don't drink the Kool-Aid, X-Men.
Yeah, right.
Would you like this Kool-Aid? I don't know, Apocalypse. Go ahead and drink it.
It's fine. But I'm trying to think if there are any other things in that trailer. It kind of looks like Mystique is sort of taking over the team a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that because that's not who she is. But,
she's like, we'll go to war.
It's one of those things where it's like, that's more about who Jennifer Lawrence is. And so because she's so popular, it's kind of like the Steve Carell effect in Anchorman 2. They made Anchorman 2. It was like almost 10 years after they had done Anchorman 1. And Steve Carell was a much, much bigger star now. So you had to give his character something to do. Problem is, his character was a moron who shouldn't have a side plot. So that took up a large chunk of the movie. And Mystique is...
She's a supporting character.
She's a supporting character, but not only that, Mystique has never been... There's never been much Mystique about her. She's a villain. She's a villainess. She's worked for the government. She's done this and she's done that, but she's never been like an X-Man and all this stuff. If you're going to do a character who's having like... a conflict or a crisis of conscience or whatever, that's Magneto. It's not Mystique. It's Magneto. But I think they just played it up. I never understood why they played it up in First Class to begin with. I was like, what the? She's his, like his sister. I'm like, that's stupid. I'm like, it's kind of like the first G.I. Joe movie they made where like, everybody was interconnected somehow before they went to G.I. Joe and Cobra. I'm like, that's so dumb. Now, that being said, I like Jennifer Lawrence in the role. I think she does a good job.
She does.
It's just they're giving the character way more importance than she deserves based on the source material. That's why I can't stand these people who are like, oh, well, all the X-Men movies are just Wolverine movies. It's like, yeah, but Wolverine is like one of the key members of the X-Men. It's like, it makes sense. You know, it's sorry.
Yeah.
Would I like to have seen more Cyclops in X-Men 3? Of course. It's his story. They fucked that up.
Yeah, they did.
But, you know, but Mystique is like, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I hope they reveal is that she's Nightcrawler's mother somehow. Somehow she's Nightcrawler's mother.
Somehow
she's Nightcrawler's mother.
She's 10 years older than him. And that's it. It almost looked like, I didn't do any sort of frame-by-frame analysis on this, but it looked like at one point somebody was fighting Nightcrawler. I think it was Archangel, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
But Nightcrawler, if it was Nightcrawler, he had on this weird suit. It was almost speckled.
Really?
Yeah. It was very odd.
I also don't like with Nightcrawler how they went back to the thing that they did with Alan Cumming, where he like had like the etchings on his. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, that was a neat thing to do. You don't have. That's one of the things you could have wiped away in the timeline. You don't have to do that. Just make it. Just make a fucking X-Men movie, okay? Just make a fucking X-Men movie.
It's and do Singer. It. Singer. I swear, man. It's. I don't know what about him. He just, the designs of the characters are just not something that he.
Well, the issue is like, I understand why they did it to begin with, you know, because Batman and Robin destroyed comic book movies for a while.
Yes.
Blade came out, but Blade looks exactly like Blade. Wesley Snipes looks like Blade does in the comic book. But all he is a black guy in a leather trench coat with swords.
Yeah. And fangs.
Yeah. That's Blade. So I understand why they were like, we can't do yellow spandex on this. People aren't going to take it seriously at all. You know, so I understood why they did that. Then, you know, Chris Nolan came along and he eked a little bit because Batman wears the suit. You know, Spider-Man came out, Spider-Man wears the suit. You know, Batman, he wears the bat suit. But of course, Chris Nolan's like, well, I'm going to make it everything, you know, I'm going to show how it works, basically.
Hmm.
Then Iron Man came out. And Iron Man was like, okay, he has to wear the suit because that's the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Then Thor, you had...
Thor's got his...
Thor. But again, Thor, like, that's okay because Thor is, like, from another planet. He might wear weird stuff. Captain America. He's wearing the suit, you know. So now it's like, okay, now we can do this. So now when they came back and started doing X-Men movies again, when they did, like, First Class... That was 2011, I think. Sounds right, 2011. You had already had Iron Man.
Yes.
And you knew they were making Captain America and all this stuff. And, you know, you had Spider-Man. You know, because once you did X-Men 1 and then Spider-Man came out 2 years later, you're like, well, our train's already rolling. We're not going to change it now. That I can understand. But now they had a little break in between there. And they had X-Men Origins, which was garbage. And they were kind of rebooting it with X-Men First Class. And they did put them in the blue and gold suits.
They did.
You know, but...
I want the individual suits, though.
Right, right.
Which is kind of what we're getting a little bit in Apocalypse.
A little bit.
I mean, Psylocke's got hers.
And that's only because she fought for it. Mm. Well, yes and no. Because they made it like that, but they made it black. And she said, no, it has to be purple. It has to be purple. That's Psylocke.
Yeah.
And, of course...
Storm looks...
She's got the mohawk. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Magneto, you know, they did tone down Magneto's costume, but, you know, it's not going to be fuchsia and red. But I mean,
all that stuff is good. But then I'm starting to see the team shots of the heroes, so to speak, the X-Men.
And they're still wearing the uniforms. Yeah, the body armor and all that crap.
And I'm like, ah, come on. You know, Jean Grey, I don't want her to look like that. And Cyclops.
Well, the problem with Jean Grey is that Jean Grey's never really had a... great uniform to begin with.
Phoenix is cool. But
that's the problem is if you choose to the Phoenix, that's a whole other mess of problems.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it.
But Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I mean, Nightcrawler should have on his little circus outfit that he had on. You know, I like that. You know, with the black and the red.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyclops should have the cowl with the visor in it. You know, I mean, they should do that. Wolverine, you know, and they make the joke in X-Men 1, we're like, we're not going to wear yellow spandex. Well, you don't have to make it the brown and orange because that's the better costume anyway. The yellow looks stupid. Oh, I'm Wolverine. I'm tracking through the forest. Oh, you can see me because I'm wearing fluorescent yellow. Awesome. It's like,
and bright blue.
And bright blue. It's like, that's the dumbest costume ever.
But the black stripes on the side hide me.
Yeah, so. I don't understand where that came from anyway. Because it's like, Wolverines aren't yellow. Well, I guess Michigan Wolverines are. But not the actual animal. They're right. Not yellow and blue. And then it has nothing to do with Canada either. So it's like, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But that's X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, and then there was
Civil War,
which was more, not really a trailer, but more just like a
TV spot,
yeah.
And they showed a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple good shots of Black Panther. There was a really, really cool shot where Winter Soldier shoots a gun and then
Iron Man
forms his gauntlet so he can block it, which was cool.
Yeah, but the my favorite part of that was the look on Tony's face after Winter Soldier shot. He's like, holy shit, you were gonna shoot me in the face.
yeah.
And some people were saying that might be where Tony gets his black eye that we keep seeing in the trailers.
Oh, maybe, like, yeah.
After that. So if that gun is now, you know, fucked up because of the shot,
yeah,
he might just punch him in the face.
Yeah. Or something.
But, no, that was really cool.
Got to see Ant-Man in it.
His new uniform.
Yeah.
His new digs. It's very almost Japanese looking. It's a cool design. It's a step up from what was in Ant-Man.
Right.
I'd say it's a lot more sleek, I will say. Scarlet Witch was there. We saw Vision for the first time on that battlefield. Because it's the same shot we've seen in all the trailers, which is that airport
where they all line up
scene. Yeah. But for the first time, they've got Vision hovering in the background on Iron Man's side.
Right.
And Cap's side is just sitting over there waiting to get melted by the mind gem.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
So stupid.
they don't need anyone else. They have Vision.
Well, that's what Dirty A said. He's like, hey, we got Vision. What do we need all these other guys for?
I'm going to get a drink.
If you just get Vision and Thor, we can clean up this whole Ultron mess real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what I said in one of my posts. It was like, you know, I'm choosing the side that with the guy with the mind gem in his forehead. Because everybody else is dead in 2 seconds. That thing could annihilate a planet. And these five chumps are standing in front of you. Dead. No, I think, but Scarlet Witch looks like she's going to be the one to take on Vision, which is cool. I'd like to see that fight. It just feels like everybody is going to be holding back, and I almost don't want them to. I want them to really go at it.
Yeah.
But people get messed up in that fight. I mean, War Machine looks like he's out cold.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out dead.
Yeah, maybe. My money's still on Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye.
Really?
I think Hawkeye is going to die.
See, for me though, killing Hawkeye. You lose. I mean, I know they're never going to make the Matt Fraction stuff because I guess they can't because he's married to Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
But they, you lose the opportunity to tell those cool stories, I think. Even in any part of it.
Do they even have room for that now, though? I mean, it would have to be years down the line.
Maybe. I mean, they could stick him in a Netflix show and do it.
They could. You know. It would be cool to have him on a Netflix show with Kate Bishop kind of as a.
Yeah.
Protege type of thing.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah. So, I mean, the only reason why I say Rhodey might be the one to die is just because Rhodey, he serves no other purpose than to be a foil for Tony Stark. Yeah. And if you're going to have Tony Stark move into the background, well, then buy foil because we don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
They don't really need Rhodey. He's, you know, he's Iron Man Mark II, and you really don't need him.
Literally.
Literally.
He is the Mark II.
So that was Civil War. Civil War comes out in May. Then they did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
And we saw Kang.
Krang. They showed more.
Not Kang the Conqueror.
They showed more of the alien invasion that we mentioned when we talked about the original trailer, where we're like, oh, they mentioned that and it goes away. That's fantastic. They actually show these pieces building the Technodrome, and then they actually have the guy, the big robot suit. Where Krang is in the belly, and it looks pretty good.
It did look good.
You want to talk about a movie that's going full bore for the cartoon look or the comic book look? There it is. I mean,
they did come out and say that A, the first movie sucked, and B, they were going to make this one more about turtles and you know, their
story.
Good. Yeah, that's which
good.
Is good.
The other thing is too is, and I may have said this before, that Tyler Perry, he plays Baxter Stockman. That's interesting. They took that from the comic book because he was a black guy in the comic book, and in the cartoon he was like this nebbish white guy. So I'm glad they kept that from the comic book. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll probably go see it.
Yeah, I don't personally care about it.
We'll probably get a free screen.
We probably
honestly,
will get a free
screen.
Crane did look pretty good.
I mean, the suit looks great. I mean, it looks exactly like it, they pulled it out of the cartoon.
Yeah.
The turtles still kind of annoy me a little bit. Michelangelo annoys me.
Yeah.
But the turtles actually were the best part of the first movie. It's like they were, I was like, okay, they're teenagers. I can see this going on. It's just the rest of it was just garbage. I'm like,
yeah, it's horrible.
It's like, I don't care about April O'Neil. I'm sorry. Unless she's getting naked in this movie. I don't care.
She did not.
And she did not.
Spoiler alert.
Because it's PG. Yeah. So she did not.
She did not. And then finally, which could lead us into the Batman Superman.
Yes.
We had a couple of faux travel commercials about.
Yeah. Metropolis. Were they on TV or did they just do the internet? I can't remember.
I thought it was TV. But,
yeah.
So there was one starring Batman. This is a Turkish Airlines faux commercial. So one starred Batman. Saying like, come to Gotham. We're, blah, blah, blah.
It was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's not Batman on a plane going, come to Gotham.
Go, Gotham.
It's totally safe because I'm there.
But you better hope you're not a criminal.
if you paid him to kill the bad guys, you better hope you're not the bad guys. Machete.
And the other one starred Lex Luthor.
Right.
As,
Because why would you get nebbish reporter?
Yeah, I was going to say.
To sell.
Yeah, after I watched the Bruce Wayne one, I was like, wait, what are they going to do for Metropolis? I don't want to see some, like, news reporter that nobody knows.
But it was good. It was like Luthor.
Because then he's on TV and people are like, hey, he looks familiar.
He looks like that guy that went to Congress the other day in the cape.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg's like, yes, we're rebuilding Metropolis and it's great. It's going to be awesome.
It's a shiny example of human innovation.
Right. And then shortly thereafter, when Deadpool came out, Warner Brothers dropped the final Batman Superman trailer. This, I think, was the
and
most.
And now this is why I say we can call it the Batman movie now.
Yeah, this was the most well-received trailer of all of them. It really does focus on Batman. And it shows him in action against everybody except Superman.
I am so excited about this new Arkham game.
Yeah, nice. Shut up.
But did you see somebody did that? I knew it was
coming.
I knew it was coming. Somebody took the trailer when he's fighting the people in the warehouse. And they started putting like the blue lightning bolts above their heads when they were coming from behind him with a knife. And then he like counters and...
But that's what Batman does. That's what he does.
It is.
The thing is, though, that scene is actually, I think, is like a partial homage to The Dark Knight Returns. Like much of the movie is an homage to that when he... The first night he comes back. And because he does that whole thing where he comes through the floor and pulls the guy in and all that kind of stuff. So it was a kick-ass scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows cuts between him and Superman and stuff like that. And a little bit more Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman actually talks. We get one line from Wonder Woman. And she sounds fine. It's people were worried about Gal Gadot. You know, she doesn't talk like this. Hi, I'm Wonder Woman! So she's...
Did anybody expect her to talk like that?
I don't know.
She's coming off a bender.
You never know.
Hey! Superman.
Hey, Superman.
I never liked you, Clark.
So that trailer comes out.
Yes.
And then immediately after that trailer, HitFix, Drew McWeeny, breaks this story.
Chicken Little reporting from HitFix.
Breaks this story that apparently they've been screening the movie internally at Warner Brothers and some of the executives are worried about it because it's not what they expected. Now we'll refer you back to about 20 minutes or so ago or 30 minutes ago when we talked about Fox. I don't get it for Deadpool. Basically what Drew McWeeny posited was that they're worried about it. If this movie doesn't make $1 billion, people are going to lose their jobs. And he thinks that what's going to happen is that Suicide Squad obviously goes forward because that's already done.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman continues going forward because that's being filmed right now. And what he thinks is going to happen is they're going to take Zack Snyder off of Justice League and they're going to move the Batman standalone movie to where Justice League was.
Yeah.
And then, but it's all speculation at this point. I don't think it's going to be tough. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think the movie is going to be good. I think one of the things he did say is that people really like Ben Affleck as Batman, and they also really like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I think, as usual, Henry Cavill, Superman, gets shit on, as usual. Whatever, poo-poo that guy. He's only the main character in the movie.
Sure he is.
But he has some source or whatever that's saying this. Again, this is the problem with Fox and with DC. And McWeeny did say this in the video. He said, you know, the biggest problem with them is that they don't have one person running it like Kevin Feige from Marvel. Right.
Well, yeah, we've talked about this before.
And we've talked about this before because that is the truth. I mean, say what you want about the Marvel movies because, you know, I like the Marvel movies. They're all really good for the most part, except for Thor 2. We were watching FX was having a Marvel marathon and they showed, you know, we caught the last 15 minutes of Captain America and then we watch Iron Man 3. And which actually, to be honest, I mean, I watched Iron Man 3 and I'm like, this movie isn't terrible. It's got a lot of great things about it. The problem is that he's not really Iron Man in the movie. But anyway, it's like the Dark Knight Rises problem. It's like, you're Batman for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they showed Thor 1. And I'm like, you know what? I really like Thor 1.
I did too.
Thor 1 is a lot of fun.
You hear that,
I
mean, Alan?
it's an obvious homage to Superman 2. But, you know, some podunk town gets destroyed by supervillains. But, I really liked Thor 1 for the most part.
Yeah. It had a good heart.
Yes.
It was a good heart.
Sure.
Sure, whatever.
And despite her unnecessary nature in the second movie, Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth had
chemistry. They did have good chemistry. Don't like Jane Foster as much in these movies as I've been on record many times before. I want Sif and Thor. But
sorry that you're shipping them.
It's not just me.
Oh, I know it's not.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's even more people shipping Loki and Thor as opposed to Sif and Thor.
I would say probably more.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't go to Tumblr if you're faint of heart.
No, God.
and look for this stuff. No, but I happen to like Sif more. But anyway, they did have good chemistry in the first movie.
Right.
The second movie was a...
Because they had to shoehorn her into it, which isn't good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is that, you know, even though I'll come on the podcast or whatever and complain about the Marvel movies, because I'm like, well, they're all kind of like, a lot of them are kind of the same. Captain America 2 is the gold standard for me. I did like Avengers a lot. Guardians is really good, except for... Yeah, Guardians is a lot like Deadpool for me. Like, it's like... The characters are fantastic. I love the characters. The plot of Guardians, I was just like, yeah, okay. It was not as weak as Deadpool, but it was kind of weak. Anyway, but you know, but the Marvel movies, although all starting to be the same, and then Ant-Man came out and you're like, this is a little bit, okay, it's funny, but it's a little thin, you know. But say what you want about them, at least they get to do what they want because Kevin Feige is the man in charge. Disney leaves them alone. They do what they want to do. And then they do their, and then he has it all mapped out. And there's nobody like that for DC. You could say, I guess Simon Kinberg is kind of that for Fox. And they're kind of getting it together.
Maybe.
But, we'll see what the podcast.
But even he seems like he's on a leash.
Like probably.
He,
yeah.
You know, it's, sure, he's sort of the guy bringing the X-Men to writing and producing these things now, but I still get the feeling like there's somebody above him that he's answering to, and, mm-hmm. and it's like he can't do exactly what he wants. He can only maybe advise on what he thinks they should.
Right. Hey, at least it's not Mark Miller anymore.
Oh, this is true.
Because there was a time there where they were like, listen to him. I'm like, don't listen to him.
Yeah.
He'll be all old man Logan and you'll want to rip your eyes out. But there is nobody like that at DC. You know, clearly they wanted Chris Nolan to be that guy. And he's like, I got other movies to make that don't involve men in tights. I got to go. So, you know, he had no interest in doing that. So it's kind of been Zack Snyder a little bit. I think Zack Snyder, we'll see with this movie. Because I did like 300.
I love 300.
Yeah. I thought Watchmen was a noble attempt, but that's not totally his fault because that's almost undoable in a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, he's
but Sucker Punch was garbage.
Sucker Punch was garbage. I couldn't even make it all the way through.
But the good thing about this movie Batman Superman is that Terrio's writing it.
Yes, Terrio.
Zack Snyder's not writing it.
No.
And David Goyer is kind of out of it because he scripted Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Goyer is a lot like Lucas. Great story idea guy, bad screenwriter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what we're going to get. And if the executives at Warner Brothers, if it's true that they're worried and they don't like it, in all honesty, fans might be like, this movie's fucking awesome because they might give us something that's like Deadpool. It's different. It's not going to be the Super Friends. I mean, anybody who's still like expecting Super Friends or whatever is out of their fucking mind.
Yeah.
There's some guy on Collider who posted, he posted a very simple comment the other day, and I upvoted him basically. I was like, yeah, I'm glad somebody said this. He's like, I hate to break it to everybody, because like they were talking about like the tone of the movies and how it's doom and gloom. He's like, yeah, I hate to break it to everybody, but basically for the last 40 years, that's been DC Comics. DC Comics has always been the more, quote, for lack of a better word, serious comics. You know, because they have Batman. I mean, Superman hasn't been happy-go-lucky since, like, the 60s. Same with Batman. Yeah. And then what happened was, with Batman, and basically like a backlash to the TV show, the 60s TV show, they made him full-on dark again. Not as dark as the Dark Knight Returns, but he was back to, like, being a detective, and he only operated at night, and, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, Neil Adams got involved, and, you know, Dick Giordano. But, you know, and Superman, you know, tell me a Superman story. I mean, I know Superman is hope and all this stuff, and, you know, but
Hopey changey.
But show me a Superman story, a popular Superman story in the last 25 years. I mean, the biggest Superman story there is, oh yeah, he died. Yeah. He fought some guy called Doomsday, destroyed the city, and he died. That's the biggest Superman story. So it's like, you know, DC is supposed to be the more serious of the two. And I think, I mean, their biggest risk, I think, is Suicide Squad. Because we're going to see if they can do something that's a little bit lighter. I mean, it's going to be dark because they're villains, but the tone's going to be a little bit more comedy, yeah. I think. A dark comedy.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't mind, like, the dark tone. It's just, that's the question you need to ask. What are these executives expecting? You know, I expect this to be pretty much in line with what they did with Man of Steel. Just now, Superman is going to be, it's the next stage in Superman's evolution. Now he's going to become more like Superman, the Superman we know, as opposed to, hey, I just found out I have all these powers. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, that's why why is Superman, he's not taking this fight out there. It's like these people that he's fighting are skilled fighters. They know what they're doing. Like they're beating the shit out of him because he doesn't know what he's doing. He wasn't allowed to fight. He can only squeeze the fence.
You and I disagree about it. But I will say, after watching Man of Steel again and again, I liked it more the more I saw it. And I still, though, I can't get past the gorier aspect of it.
The biggest problem with Man of Steel, and I've said this before, is that the biggest problem, because I watched it a few months ago, and I was actually watching. I was like, okay, let me watch this and see where it goes off the rails. It starts going off the rails when they take Lois into space for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's basically like a plot device.
Yeah.
But everything else, they made Lois, and I liked Amy Adams as Lois a lot. Like I liked like how she was like this, like she got into it. She got it, you know, she was an intrepid reporter and all this stuff. Like they made her a reporter again and not just a damsel in distress. Like she actually did, she wasn't distressed a lot, but she actually, you know, she was actually like a modern day reporter. You know, going into like, you know, hazardous situations. Why they had to take her into space, don't know. And that didn't make any sense. And then the fact that she had to be on the ship or the plane that was going to deliver the Phantom Zone missile or the ship, you know, that didn't make any sense either. But there was a lot of cool stuff in it. And I think one thing that they will hammer home in this movie is something that girl that works at Daily Planet, Jenny, the one who was stuck at the end, she says he saved us, you know? And like, I think that's what's going to be the dichotomy. Like, yes, his fight destroyed Metropolis, but he did save the planet when he destroyed the machine in the Indian Ocean. So it's like, you know, it's either way, yeah. You know, you either go with Batman where he's like,
we gotta kill this guy.
If there's only a 0.001111 chance, you know, he's evil.
That's a great scene, though. If there's even 1% chance that he's our enemy, we have to absolute certainty.
And then we're going into Iraq.
That's awesome. And I want to know how that fits in, because I want to know if it's something like he gets some kind of like psychic thing or something like that. Because it can't be
the dark side.
Because that's another thing. Because when they showed that one trailer, the Omega symbol is in the sand, and that is Darkseid. And then, because we were saying, I think when they did one other trailer, we were like, "Oh, those parademons."
Yeah,
apparently they are.
I think they are.
So
that's got to be a dream sequence.
I know, but if it's a dream, how is he having such a specific dream? Yeah. So there has to be something, some kind of psychic thing, telepathy going on. So maybe Martian Manhunter. That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
So, but anyway,
and maybe that's what they don't get. It's maybe, like, maybe Martian Manor shit. Like,
I don't get it. He's in Supergirl.
Is this like Matt Damon's Martian? So I don't. I don't believe this story has any legs at all. Yeah, I just don't. I don't get behind it. And B, fuck them if it is true, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and Deadpool is the perfect example.
Yeah.
Of where, you know, you take a concept, you take a character that fans love, and it's just that it's not going to be something that's a traditional Hollywood superhero movie.
Mm.
And if Snyder's trying to do something different, which I hope he is, with Batman versus Superman, then yeah, I could see why they don't like it, why they don't get it. And I there's so much groundwork being laid by this movie because it's called Dawn of Justice.
Right.
You can't have this movie and then be like, we're postponing that Justice League thing.
Yeah.
No. No, if you're introducing Flash, Cyborg. Aquaman, Cyborg.
And now there's a rumor that they've already cast Green Lantern.
Yeah. This guy that's like,
I don't know who it is, and I
forgot the guy's name.
I don't want to know who it is, but you know, cuz I've seen it.
Anybody seen a lantern? I mean, he's like throwing out all these obvious clues that he's Green Lantern. But but they have talked about the Green Lantern Corps and how they're going to work into one of the Justice League movies. So all this groundwork's been laid. I think it's actually too far gone to be like, no, we're not gonna do that anymore.
That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying that they were just gonna maybe retool it a little bit, and then they were just gonna buy time by moving the Batman movie up, because Batman is the bankable.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, hero. If what we know about Batman and Superman is true, and that only half the movie is devoted to Batman versus Superman, and the other half is to fighting the real threat, which is Luthor and Doomsday. Right. That the end of it would be the Justice League coming together.
Right.
Which means there is some threat that brings them together, which would make no sense for you to be like, all right, so we're going to have a Batman movie in between there.
Right.
Then you would have to deal with that threat.
The only way they would be able to do that is if it was like a prequel or something like that.
Yeah.
Which they could do, because they could do how Robin dies. Maybe. Yeah, you know, they could do that, which would be an interesting story.
Yeah.
I think Collider said that too, that's what they're hearing, that the rumor is that's going to be the Red Hood story, which would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But anyway, I think what's going to happen is, because people don't, the other thing that Warner Brothers doesn't understand is that I think they're looking at Man of Steel and they're like, Man of Steel was kind of disappointed. I mean, it made like a ton of money, but worldwide. I think it made like 300 here maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made like, I think it was like Cap, Winter Soldier, I think. It made like 700 maybe worldwide or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's a disappointment. It's like, yeah, well, this movie has Batman in it, and the last Batman movie made over $1 billion. So relax.
Yeah, it's going to make its billion or whatever.
It's sad that that's now the...
It is sad.
That's really sad. That's like the benchmark now for like, it has to be a success. I remember when it used to be $100 million domestic was a success.
Yeah.
I mean, that was only like maybe like 15 years ago. I mean, when X-Men came out and it made 50, 55, I think, its first weekend, people were like, holy shit!
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, this is great!
Well, somebody put up that infographic about Deadpool, like, comparing it to all the other superhero movies. Like, Batman Begins made $48 million its opening
weekend. Oh, yeah. Batman Begins was considered, like, a disappointment when it came out, because it only made, it barely got over, like, 200 domestically.
Iron Man made 98, I think, and it was a, like, great success at the time. And, yeah. All these other movies. Thor, America 1.
Yeah, Iron Man, I think, was the third highest grossing movie that year. Because it was Dark Knight, Indiana Jones.
And then Iron Man.
And then Iron Man.
But all the other X-Men movies. I mean, it compared to all these other movies. Mm-hmm. The only ones that came close were like, Cap was up there. It was like $113 million. A couple were in the 100. Man of Steel, maybe 100-something million. but nobody was close to Deadpool. No,
Man of Steel, I don't remember that.
It was something from DC that made like 130 million.
Oh, Dark Knight.
It might maybe.
It has to be Dark Knight.
But 150 million
yeah.
for Deadpool yeah. against all those other people.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And in February, no yeah. less.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think also Star Wars kind of did that too, showed them that, hey, guess what? Just because The Hobbit only made X amount of money in December doesn't mean that people aren't going to go see a movie in December.
No. No, that's a great time to release one of those, a movie like that,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Because you have basically no competition until right. February.
I got to be honest, I think Batman Superman is going to show them too that, hey, maybe you should start moving some of these to March.
Yeah. Because I do hope that the
Wolverine
calendar
comes out in March. That's supposed to, well, it's due in March if they even start filming this year. Who knows?
Yeah, I hope they do start spreading the calendar. Marvel's starting to do that a little bit. Like, they've started having August releases and November releases.
Right.
Doctor Strange is November this year. Right. And Civil War is May, beginning of May.
Yeah.
I think
I said that a while ago. I think it was back when Dark Shadows came out with Johnny Depp. And I'm just like, why are they putting all these movies in the summer, glutting it up, when you've got a movie like Avengers, which is making, because I think it was 2012. I'm like, you know, Avengers is making all this money. And then it's just like, now Dark Shadows wasn't that great a movie anyway. But I'm just saying that, like, you know, even if it was a good movie, people aren't going to go see it because they're still going to see Avengers. You need to spread this shit out.
Yeah.
And Dark Shadow should have come out like in the fall and all around Halloween.
Yeah.
They don't make it.
So I think it's going that route. Like, Black Panther will come out in February.
Yeah, I know. For Black History Month.
For Black History
Month. Subtle Marvel. Real subtle.
Hey. It's their money.
They want to make it. I know, but it's like subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading some comments from the writer, the guy that they got to write the script. And, I mean, it's early in the process. He's saying all the right things, but it does sound kind of cool.
2018?
2018, yeah. Okay. He was talking about, they were asking about, you know, how much of Wakanda is going to be in it, because they said it was like a geopolitical thriller. And,
right.
He basically said a lot of the focus is going to be on Wakanda, but they're doing some research now to figure out where in Africa Wakanda is going to be.
Mm.
Is it going to be off the coast? Is it going to be in the center of Africa? Where is it going to be?
Oh, it should probably be on the coast.
I would think
coast, I thought they already did that because Avengers, they went there and then there was that shipyard. There was like that disused shipyard or something like that.
They didn't say that was Wakanda, though.
Mm.
They just said it was South Africa.
Right.
So, yeah, they're talking about where they want to put Wakanda. So it does sound like it's, at least part of it's going to be there. They asked him about the technology of Wakanda and how they're going to do that. And, you know, he said that they're going to kind of lace it with the culture itself, and so it'll look like it fits in with the culture around there. And
cool.
Yeah, he sounded like he knows exactly what he's doing. He's like, I'm starting with the characters first, and then I'll build the culture around them.
Right.
So he wants to get the characterization down for Panther and whoever else is going to be in it, probably Claw, and then we'll wrap the culture around the story or the characters and create the story and create Wakanda and all this
right. other cool stuff. Who's writing that one?
It comes out of their writing program. I can't remember the dude's name.
Though. Oh, okay.
But I think this is his first, it's definitely his first Marvel movie, but, he comes from their stable of writers.
How come we're not in that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll get on that.
Another thing about, Fox and Deadpool is that with Hugh Jackman leaving Wolverine, possibly. cause I gotta be honest, now that he might be, you know, I'm sure Ryan Reynolds is going to want Hugh Jackman to maybe at least put in a cameo in the next Deadpool movie. I think he'll suit up again for it. But anyway, you know, the question was always, who is Fox going to have now? There's your answer. It's going to be Deadpool. And I think they were banking on Gambit being that guy. Well, guess what, Gambit? We don't need you anymore because we have Deadpool. So go eat your gumbo and go someplace else.
Poor Channing Tatum.
Whatever, not, screw that guy.
Or not poor Channing Tatum, I don't know.
Because the other thing that I pointed out on some of the message boards and stuff like that is that, you know, Fox shouldn't be worried to stick Deadpool in other stuff. He's an Avenger right now in the comic books.
Yeah.
Do you think he's dropping F-bombs and shit in Avengers? No, he's not.
No.
So they've toned him down to PG-13 for that, and he's still funny.
Yeah.
So,
and he's making fun of the fact that he's in Avengers, which exactly. I like. I mean, that's how you work Deadpool into other stuff.
Right.
You don't. He doesn't have to be, you know, cutting people's heads off and, you know.
Right.
Fucking it or whatever.
So one thing he did not do.
He did not.
In the movie.
In the movie. The only thing, I think.
Oh, your poor wife.
It's buried next to the cure for blindness.
So I think that's what's going to happen. That's the one thing that will probably happen with Fox. Yeah, I mean, they're talking about making all these movies rated R. I think what's going to happen is Ryan Reynolds is going to have a very full dance card.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
Which is good, because he's like, they were like, do you want to play any other superhero characters? And he's like, no, I want to play Deadpool for the rest of my life. And he was serious.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah. Because it's the part he was born to play.
It's the least amount of work for him.
Yeah.
Probably ever.
Yeah.
Because he basically is Wade Wilson.
He is Deadpool. Wade Wilson.
And he's hilarious. He's got the timing. He can ad lib. He's perfect.
Yeah. I like Ryan Reynolds. I've always liked Ryan Reynolds. He's just had unfortunate luck with bad movies.
He's had some bad luck.
But there's a couple of movies of his I do want to check out. I want to check out Buried. I've never seen that. That's the one where he's stuck in a coffin.
Yeah.
I want to see The Voices.
Yeah.
Which is where his pets tell him to murder. And then another good movie with Ryan Reynolds is Definitely Maybe, which is a rom-com. But it's a sweet movie. It's an interesting take on how to tell the story, which is where basically three hot women could be his daughter's mother. And, as he tells the story, then you find out who it is at the end. He knew who it was the whole time. It's not like
Blake Lively.
No,
no.
So basically summing that up, fuck you, Gambit, go away.
Yeah.
So
nobody cares. Movie gone.
I mean, yeah, Fox is, they don't have to bank on that now.
No.
Last thing, Daredevil.
Who?
Daredevil. Yeah, exactly. Right. In all this. Another guy in red.
Yeah.
Daredevil, season two trailer, part one trailer.
Yes. The other one's coming next week.
Finally dropped. And, it's Punisher-tastic.
It reminds me actually of the Batman Superman trailer, where I now think of that movie as the next Batman movie. Season two of Daredevil is now the Punisher season one.
Well, here's the thing. Because
he looks awesome.
Yeah, my bet is that they're going to Dark Knight Rises it, and no one will ever call him Punisher. He's just going to be Frank Castle. Just like Selina Kyle was never Catwoman. She was just Selina Kyle.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because with what they're doing with this and how dark it is, it's almost kind of ridiculous that someone would call him the Punisher.
Yeah.
Hey, Punisher! And they shoot them. It looks cool. There's a few tidbits in there that they kind of try and slide past you. It seems that Matt Murdock has told Karen Page that he's Daredevil at some point. In this,
it seems like it,
because she says something about like, what about Daredevil? Oh, whoa. And he's like talking like, well, Daredevil doesn't want to do that, yeah. You know, like, and then at the very end, and then it's a lot of about Punisher, and they kind of hint at what made the Punisher. And
yeah, they showed the picture of his family, the kids, and
the best line I think in the whole thing is what he says to Daredevil. He goes, "You're just a half measure."
Yeah,
and he goes, "When I hit him, when you hit him, they get back up. When I hit him, they stay down."
Yeah,
I was like, nice.
Yeah, it's like, why are you doing this? Because you're a half measure. You won't do what you needs to be done.
Right. Kind of thing. And then the very, very last scene of the trailer, Elektra shows up.
Yes.
And then they're like, part two of the trailer. Because it's 13 freaking hours. So it's okay to have a two-part trailer. That drops, I think, on the 25th, I think they said, or something like that, of February.
Do you think Frank Miller was...
Fuck Frank Miller.
Fuck that guy. She's not the real Elektra. He hadn't even seen a second of footage.
I read they delayed Dark Knight 3 Master Race issue 3. It skipped a month for some reason. Like it was supposed to come out in January, I think, and then they pushed it to February. I think it's actually coming out next week. And the first two issues are pretty good. It's probably because Brian Azzarello is writing on top of Frank Miller. So Frank Miller's probably providing the plot. Brian Azzarello's I'm going to make this as non-misogynistic as possible because you're a disgusting human being.
Yeah, I can't call all the women broads.
I can't make the... Broads is fine. It's the fact that he makes all his women characters hookers and whores. And then there's Nancy Callahan from Sin City, the stripper who won't take off her clothes.
Right.
In the movie. Thanks a lot, Jessica Alba. You puritanical... B.
Well, despite what Frank Miller says, I thought, you know, we only got to see like a second of Elektra, but she sounds cool. I mean, it's kind of like Wonder Woman in the Batman Superman. She didn't make me vomit, you know, with that one line of dialogue, so mission accomplished. Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, so...
No, it's cool. They kind of play up the history between them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because she's all calm and collected, and he looks like he's ready to stab somebody whenever he figures out that she's in his apartment. But Punisher, I think, looks really good.
Well, he doesn't look like the Punisher.
Okay. You're not getting the white gloves.
And
the
white gloves, white boots.
You're not getting it.
Make it happen.
It's not happening.
Make it happen.
You're going to be lucky if there's a skull on his shirt by the end of the season.
I think there is.
There's got to be.
There was some. I thought I saw some.
You're right. No, somebody took a shot of him walking around with it, I think. But, I mean, it looks like somebody, you know, it looks like Rambo, basically. He's come home from it. You know, he's got the army jacket on and, you know.
Yeah, he's really into it.
He is.
I mean, John Bernthal, he takes it seriously. Because that's the thing that I didn't know. And I kind of found out because I work with a lot of ex-military guys. Punisher's like a big deal for like military guys. Like he's like the guy for them. And
right on. All right.
So like, I mean, like you'll see like a lot of guys will have like the Punisher skull on like their uniform somewhere or their cap or something like that. They have like they stitch it on there basically.
Yeah.
Maybe all their families were murdered by the mob. I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
Speaking of Dolph Lundgren, did you see that Kindergarten Cop 2 trailer?
So that'll do it for this episode of the Crossover Podcast. The next time we talk will hopefully be before Batman Superman comes out.
Let's try to do one more before that comes out.
Well, no, I mean, we'll at least talk about Daredevil.
We'll have another Daredevil trailer. We'll probably have a Civil War trailer coming out soon.
Yeah, God, I hope hopefully soon.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
We'll have the final trailer soon.
I'm actually surprised it didn't come out with Deadpool.
I am a little bit surprised.
It's only 3
well.
Months, so I'm actually really surprised it didn't
But
come
then
out
again, it's a Fox property, and Marvel hates Fox. So.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's still Marvel. I mean, you know.
It is, but they don't want to... I don't think they like to cross-pollinate.
Marvel doesn't want to sully their name.
They don't want to sully
their name. With an R-rated movie.
No, it's Marvel Studios versus Marvel Entertainment.
Right.
And they that's why Marvel Studios now has that new fanfare, because they're trying to set themselves apart so people know that it's a movie, like an Avengers universe, maybe.
Right.
Movie, basically. But yeah, I think we got to get one soon. I don't know what Disney movies are coming out between now and...
Oh, well, no, Jungle Book's April. That's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
When does Alice in the Looking Glass come out?
Is that soon?
Is it March?
Well, if it is, it might be that. But it's,
it might be.
Within a month, I think we got to have a Civil War trailer. And my prediction all along has been that this trailer is going to be when they finally reveal Spider-Man.
I think we need one more Batman Superman trailer, too.
That'll make 8.
Alice Through the Looking Glass comes out. Oh no, that's May.
Yeah, so no.
So no, so it's not that either.
Something in March. We're gonna get it. And I think we're gonna finally see Spider-Man.
Maybe.
And I will lose my mind. I hope.
Yeah, you hope so.
I hope so.
Yeah. Hopefully not in the bad way.
Yeah, right. One way or another, I am going
he
to lose
like
my
shit.
Mind.
He looks like shit! Why does he have white gloves and white boots on? And that'll do it for this episode of the Crossover Podcast. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening, folks.
See you later.